Chapter 17. The Hunt, the Second Day. At dawn, the three mastheads had many lookouts. All the sails were set, and the Pequod flew on after the white whale again. We had all forgotten yesterday's dangers, and whatever terrible dreams we'd had, and were as mad as Ahab in our desire to continue the hunt. We were like one man, not 30. The ship looked as if it was a living thing, with men's arms and legs hanging off of the rigging as every man searched for the white whale. Then, everyone cried out at once, for Moby Dick had suddenly come into view. Not far away, the white whale breached in the way sperm whales do. Coming from deep in the sea, he jumped upward at huge speed out of a mountain of bright white water. "There she breaches!" was the cry from everyone as we saw this amazing sight.
"You have breached for the last time, Moby Dick," cried Ahab. Come down, all of you. Lower the boats. Mr. Starbuck, the ship is yours."
Everyone slid down the rigging as quickly as possible, and the boats were lowered. As if to terrify the crews, Moby Dick now came directly toward the boats. He rushed among them with his jaws open and his tail moving wildly from side to side, not noticing the harpoons and lances thrown at him from every boat. The steersmen managed to keep their boats out of his jaws, but as the whale crossed and recrossed the water between the boats, the harpoon lines that were attached to his body became tied tightly together around him. The boats were being pulled toward Moby Dick's huge mouth. There was only one thing that could be done. Ahab got hold of the knife and quickly cut through the lines. But it was too late. Just before he was free of them, Moby Dick, with a sudden rush, pulled the lines tight so that the boats of Stubb and Flask crashed together, and both crews fell into the water. Then he dove down, leaving a wild whirlpool of water with the wrecked boats going round and round in it. Then, while the crews in the water were reaching out for oars and other things which they could save, suddenly the whale's forehead came up under the only boat left, Ahab's. The boat shot straight upward, as if a rope was pulling it into the sky, and turned over and over in the air until it crashed back into the sea. Ahab's men swam out from underneath it, pulling the captain with them. Moby Dick, as if he was pleased with his work for the moment, swam slowly away from the wreckage, with harpoon lines still wrapped around him. The Pequod, close by, lowered the other boat to rescue the crews and whatever else could be saved. Ahab was not as tired as he had been the previous day, but his whalebone leg had been broken off, leaving only a sharp end that was too short to stand on. But Ahab refused to give up.
"Set all the sails again," he cried. "Rig the rest of the whaleboats and get the crews. Mr. Starbuck, give me a stick to lean on. That broken lance will do," continued Ahab, pointing at one on deck. Then he looked around him wildly. "Where is Fadala? Where is he? Quick, call all the men."
But when all the men on the ship were together, Fadala was not there.
"I think that he must have been caught in the harpoon lines and they dragged him down," said Stubb.
Ahab's reply was wild and angry.
"If I have to go around the world 10 times, even if I have to dive straight through it, I will kill that whale."
Starbuck suddenly cried out,
"In God's name, let us have no more of this. You will never, ever capture him, old man. We have chased him for 2 days. We have lost a man. 2 boats have been stove to pieces. You have lost your leg again. Shall we keep chasing this terrible animal till he drowns the last man on this ship? Shall we be dragged by him to the bottom of the sea? Shall we be dragged down to hell by Moby Dick? End this hunt now."
"Ahab is always Ahab, Mr. Starbuck," cried the captain. "It is my job to do this, and it is your job to obey me. Stand around me, men, and believe in me. Tomorrow will be Moby Dick's last day. Do you feel brave, men?
Yes, sir,
cried Stubb for all the men. Starbuck said no more. Later that night, the ship's carpenter made a new leg for Ahab out of a piece of wood from his wrecked boat. Ahab stayed on deck all night as he had done the night before. He had set a course for the Pequod to travel east toward the dawn. During the night, I went out on deck and heard Ahab quietly talking to himself.
I tried to make the men brave, but am I brave myself? Fadala is dead. But he prophesied that I would see him again before I die. How can this be?